Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Thanks for joining us. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, the sort of flagship property of Derek Stevens' casino empire.
Yes, I think that would be.
That's right. I think that's that, right?
Yeah.
We don't say that enough.
Flagship casino. That's right. Because he's got multiple.
Coming up on the show this hour, Pete Futak, talk college football with him. How are they going to wedge Alabama into the playoffs? That's what I want to know. Just tell me now so I know. Paul Carr coming off a 3-0. He's got Premier League picks. And Will Hill standing by here momentarily. Some tweets first, though. This is from the numbers guys, who says, if you get caught between the moon and New York City, what's the best you can do? Arthur says, fall in love. Little yacht rock for you. Do you know that one? Christopher Cross?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Michael Burns, Steely Dan is not yacht rock. You're right. One of my favorite bands of all time, Asia album, Pure Genius. Yeah, they tried to say that Asia was the birthplace of yacht rock. And I never associated Steely Dan with that sound.
So just to sum this all up, you have a problem with naming the genre, but then you're drawing lines about who should be in the genre or not?
No. When you put it that way, you're making it seem like I'm being hypocritical. I'm not at all. What I'm saying is that music that Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins and Christopher Cross put out was awesome in its own right and doesn't need an umbrella. And if you put the umbrella on them, you certainly shouldn't include Steely Dan as the impetus for this. By the way, they tried to call Donald Fagen at the end, and they said, yeah, I'm doing the Yacht Rock documentary. And he told them to go blank himself.
Because of the name?
Yeah, because it's so insulting to him to be characterized by this term. Anyway, we should do a whole show on the Yacht Rock.
It just makes me think of being on the water and sipping on a margarita and listening to that music.
It's very common. It. Brian M., if the Lions don't get the number one seed, it's likely because of some stupid play that shouldn't have even crossed their minds. That's so true. So true. J.D. Emmons, let's not skip past the use of spite drive by Gil first segment. Thank you. Epic terminology. I watched that spite drive at Latte Larry's. That was Jameis's spite drive at the end of the first half after he threw the pick six. He's like, watch this. Still didn't get the cover for folks in the first half. Ryan Hyde, I could not agree more with Gil and his dissertation on what some call yacht rock. It needs not a name for it. Like, it's like art to me. I don't have to define it. I just know it when I hear it. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Chris Jason, fighting fungus. Gee, I agree with you 100% on Steely Dan. Classic rock might fit their genre, but musically talented and lyrics above all else. Larry Carlton, one of the best studio guitar players of all time. He played almost all Steely albums. And Snarky Fan says, find me someone who looks at me the way that Will Hill looks at the Titans, with love and affection. If only we had Will Hill to talk about just that.
If only.
He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. He's the star of the Megapod, along with Todd Wishnev, and of course the star of the Bear Bets Pod, Chris Felica's empire over there at Fox Sports. And he's got his own podcast called Should Bet More. He joins us now. How you doing, Willie?
Should have bet less last night on the old Cleveland Brownies, as Todd likes to call them. My goodness. These usually roll off my back. You win some, you lose some, you just move on to the next. But that was a tough one. That was a tough one. I got to go back and listen to the start of your show. I almost don't want to, because I'm just in so much pain. Man, how did nobody touch him on the interception? And then you get down to the one or the two. And I actually said out loud, I don't trust this idiot to not throw the ball to the other team. And I couldn't even get the sentence out before the linebackers running the other way with it. I think now that Winston failed to cover, I think we can stop all pretending like everything he says is the funniest thing in the world. That was brutal last night.
It was brutal. Because it was relentlessly brutal. It didn't matter what you had. First half, in-game, pre-flop, second half. It didn't matter. We get to the edge of it, and you just knew what was coming. And it just happens. And it happens. And by the way, I'll say it again. The fact that Elijah Moore didn't have the presence of mind to get up and tag down McMillan, that last one to Cody Barton when they were going to get the backdoor cover, what could he possibly have seen on that play that would have led him to just go, boop, there you go.
And I just needed the field goal. I was hoping that, hey, just, I know it's not the right thing to do, just try out the field goal team. And for all I care, just, I know you're not supposed to on first down when you're that close, but anything other than an interception, because eventually if they got the fourth down, they would have kicked the field goal. And yeah, and what's cruel too about the Moore replay, the Moore play, that interception for a touchdown. First of all, he's lying on the ground for a second. Oh, he's just going to stay there. And oh, he's going to get up. Surely somebody's going to tackle him. Surely somebody's going to be there. Nope, he just waltzes in the end zone. But on the replay, it's close enough where Moore, like if part of his helmet may have touched him. If something touches him somewhere, yeah, we win our bet. And it came so close. Is he out of bounds?
Yeah.
Something. Did the jersey nick him? Is there any sort of contact there?
None.
Which would have, you know, basically ended the game. None.
There were those first couple replays where I was thinking the same thing, where I'm like, oh, it's close. And they showed one angle. I was like, oh, it wasn't close at all. Never mind. And like you said, he didn't even try that after that.
Well, it was close, but it was clearly that he didn't. Yeah. He didn't try. And then Jameis, you pointed this out last night. Jameis, you didn't run after him or anything? Like, how did you not, like, pursue the play? They're like, ah, whatever, he scored. You know, it's brutal. Brutal. You're right. And I think your point is this. If I could sort of just echo what you were saying, usually if you do this long enough, as we have, right, there are brutal beats in every sport. Tennis, there was a relentless streak during the clay season this week where it's like, can't possibly happen again. Oh my God, it happened again. Oh my God, it happened again. Right. And there are very few times where it bothers you. Last night was one of them, no matter how long you've been betting. Like that's brutal last night in so many ways. So,
and when they go your way, it's how the human brain works. I got lucky. And then you just kind of move on. The joy of winning one you don't deserve doesn't linger as long as the pain of losing one you don't deserve to lose.
Yeah. The highs are not as high as the lows are low, I believe they say. What did you end up for week 14? What did you end up on?
For the NFL, not much. I am going to lay it with Philly. I'll lay the 12. I'll lay the big number. I think it's a little antiquated thinking that, oh, you can't lay double digits in the NFL. I think if you look back, a pretty good sample size the last 10, 12 years of, hey, these double-digit favorites do pretty well in the NFL. I don't know if it's because these teams pass more and there's a bigger gap between the haves and the have-nots in terms of the quarterbacks where you can get the margin. I just think Carolina is horrendous against the run. I think Philly can basically just line up, snap it, and run for 5-6 yards a carry. I think they'll score, you know, well into the 30s. Maybe I should just play the Philly team total over if that's my angle. Maybe I will play a little of both. And Young's played okay here, but I just think they will be helpless against the run. Irving ran all over him the other day against that versus Tampa. So I think Philly can pretty much name their score. Going to Philly is a tough spot. Philly's motivated, obviously, still with a chance at the one seed. So I will lay it with Philly. Everyone seems to be on Green Bay. I think that'll probably close 3. I understand taking the 3.5. Detroit's all sort of beat up on defense. I might just take the over there. I'd be tempted by Detroit if it does hit 3, which I think there are some 3s out there. I don't know. I just think Detroit, they are really missing some guys on defense. You remember the Thanksgiving game last year, right around the same time, obviously. There was a lot of points both sides. So I could see, we're looking at 51. So I could see a 28, 24, 31, 28 type of game. So I am interested over in Green Bay, Detroit here.
Maybe a preview of Will's Megapod picks. Maybe. We shall see. Okay. By you saying you don't have much in the NFL, that sort of tells me you might have more in college football. 9 championship games.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday. What do you like best?
I got to stay on brand here for a second and say, where did the regular season go? We're in December. We're down to 9 games. Like, we just started the season and it's over. And it is a little bittersweet. It's somewhat easier. We don't have to go through 100 games and handicap them all and be prepped on all of them. But the lines are tighter. There's just fewer games. We're down to 9. It is a fun weekend. It's a little different now because the lines are just so short, so tight. I do like Tulane. Their coach, Summerall, has played Army a couple times. Back when he was at Troy, he played them in 2022 and 2023, and he beat them 19-0. He beat them 10-9. I just think they're going to be prepped for this Army attack. I think they're just on a different level than Army. That was a terrible performance by Tulane last week. There is a little concern that their dreams of making the college football playoff went by the wayside, but I do think they'll bounce back, and I think they'll win this game somewhat comfortably. So I'm okay laying there's some 5, 5.5s out there. I think Tulane wins the game, maybe by double digits or so. One of our other group chats, I don't know if it was our group chat or another one, I think Bear brought this up, Felica. Georgia at DraftKings is 40-1 to be the number one seed. If they won and Penn State beat Oregon, would they give Penn State the one seed? Would they give it to Georgia? I took a shot, small bet on Georgia, 40-1 to be the one seed.
Okay.
And look, they're going to put Bama in. I wrote Bama up for Fox last week at 40-1 to win the title. Just like, hey, they're going to probably find a way to put Bama in. I think if SMU wins, they put Bama in as the last team. I think even if SMU loses, I'm not sure they're going to put SMU in over Bama just because of the brand names, the marquee wins, the strength of schedule. So you can still get Bama 22-1 to win it all, where, hey, if they do put them in, you got a ticket where there's no great team. Bama's still Bama, and anything can happen. So I have a good feeling you could just take Bama, yes, to make the playoffs too, if you want to go that way. But I think a week from now, you're going to be happy to have a Bama 22-1 ticket.
I was going to talk to Futak about this, and you have stolen my questions because that's exactly where I was going with this. Because if you look at the to make the playoff markets yesterday, Bama shortened and SMU got a little longer.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I'm like, what does that tell me? Obviously, the first scenario, if SMU wins, maybe they figure out a way to put Bama in. But I'm more interested in the other one that you mentioned, which is if Clemson beats SMU in the ACC championship, you're not supposed to get dinged for losing a conference championship, right? That's the stated sort of thing.
Sure.
It's supposed to be, hey, you got there, so this is an extra game. You shouldn't get bothered by it.
What does that mean exactly? They don't, like, it's not considered as weighted as much as another loss, or it's not weighted as
loss? Because some teams don't play in a conference championship,
right,
and so they shouldn't be able to theoretically go over you because you end up losing a game that you were good enough to get to.
Right, so a loss is not really being counted as a loss then.
Theoretically.
Got it, okay.
Theoretically. But if SMU loses that game, are they going to bounce SMU in favor of like an Alabama? That's what I'm worried about. And I think it might happen.
Yeah, and I think if SMU wins, I think Bama's pretty cleanly in, because I don't buy this idea they're going to put Miami in. South Carolina, they got screwed against LSU, but they both have three losses, and Bama beat them head-to-head. So I think tie goes to the runner here with Bama. I think they'll get the benefit of the doubt for sure.
Oh, boy.
Nobody
should be surprised, man. Nobody should be surprised. Will, appreciate it. We'll talk to you on, tomorrow. Was it tomorrow? No, the day after tomorrow with Megabot.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill. That's two E's in the V on Twitter. We'll come back. Paul Carr, Premier League picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With college football and NFL playoffs coming soon, now's the time to give yourself a betting edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. What are you waiting on? Daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. 19 hours of live programming, power strength, and better ratings used by pro handicappers. Plus our exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Start betting smarter today for as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has for you to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trip Tepper, a documentary recommendation on Netflix, American Nightmare. Oh, I know this one. He says, a true crime roller coaster ride that will have you hooked from the get-go. Incredible three-episode series. This has been out for a while. I think I have recommended this already on the show. It is spectacular. It's about something that happened in 2015 in the East Bay, in the Bay Area, the East Bay of the Bay Area. Just amazing. Tripp said it perfectly. It will get you hooked from the get-go. It's a three-episode thing, so it's not a big commitment. It's spectacular. Michael Lafon, Yacht Rock. Christopher Cross is the greatest guy. When he was at the height of his popularity in 1981, playing that evening at the Knight Center in Miami, he spent the whole afternoon on the pediatric floor at Jackson Memorial Hospital. I was an intern. What a great story that is. Knight Center in Miami, where I once saw a Georgetown-Miami game where Tito Horford, Al's dad, was playing in that game, where they only had seats on one side. Christopher Cross, not only a great guy, but they alluded to this in the documentary. He won... I remember it as being 5 Grammys his first night. They said 4 on the documentary. Basically, his rookie season, his first album in 1980, I believe it was. And he didn't care about his appearance. He just didn't think that his appearance mattered to the craft itself. The music should be judged by itself. And he admits, if you go back and you look at like YouTube videos of Christopher Cross, he's like wearing an Earl Campbell throwback jersey playing Salem. He didn't care, and it probably cost him a bigger career, and then MTV came around where visuals were such an important part. Corbin, please, for the love of God, bring up Yacht Rock on the Megapod. I need to hear Todd Wishnev argue with Gil about how Steely Dan is, in fact, Yacht Rock. We need a Yacht Rock segment in the Megapod this week, or we riot. Your guy, Josh Cohen, says, nope, nobody, never. Legendary stream of consciousness in your Florida shows?
I made a comment about our Saturday morning show. Nobody was ever hungover, ever.
Ever.
Ever. In the history of the show.
Of course not.
Nobody.
John Blom, he said, as soon as Gil said I have a documentary recommendation, I said out loud on the treadmill, Yacht Rock could have live bet that in the 3 second window before he said it and cash big. See, I told you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John Blum.
I'm not a true crime documentary guy. I know that's like so like anti-American because that's like what everybody listens to podcast wise. And
the female percentage of that audience is unbelievable. The true crime.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's an incredibly popular genre. Podcasts. Docs, everything. People are into it. Brian Morianen, the conference championship appearance likely won't count against you unless you lose your starting quarterback. Shout out to Florida State.
Yeah.
Shout out to FSU.
I hope no such thing will happen to anybody this year. That would be so terrible.
Can you believe that happened? They went undefeated and they didn't let them in.
Wild. It's wild.
You're not a sport. You're an exhibition.
You want to talk
as long as you tell me that.
You want to talk to about it with Pete Futek?
Is Pete here now?
Yeah.
Oh, we switched it up?
Switcheroo,
Oh, I didn't know that. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Futek joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some college football with us. How you doing, Peter?
Florida State actually, they didn't exactly do well after that quarterback problem, did they? That's been a rough year for the Seminoles after that one injury against North Alabama, isn't it?
What does that have to do with them not getting in, though? Why is that?
We're not going to do this again. But
no, we're not. We're not.
That's why it turned out to be the right move, but they had to do it. But of course it did because they were bad and Alabama and Texas were better. But now we'll get to see how this plays out. So you're complaining about a team that went undefeated against a mediocre schedule versus two more worthy teams. How are you going to feel about SMU if they get out for Alabama? Because okay. I'll tell you up front, I'm with you. I will be with you. I am not for Alabama getting in it on.
Wow.
Whoa.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the upset of the show right here. Peter Futek, noted power.
SMU's a Power Four team. If you're in the bigger level,
yes.
If you're in a Power Four conference, now I'll fight that fight for you.
But wait a minute. You're not only a Power Five now, Power Four snob. You also have a hierarchy of snobbery within the Power Four, let's be honest, where SECs and your Big Tens are above the rest. So,
well, they are. They're more talented, but not when you play like Alabama did against Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. So there is a mix there of deserve and better. Like talent wise, yeah, Alabama's better than SMU. I mean, a lot of teams are better than SMU, but there's a mix here. So yes, my Power Five snobbery comes from teams just having like maybe one or two players on SMU could start on Ohio State, for example. But if you're in an ACC in a Power Five conference and you go 11 wins, in the history of the college football playoff rankings, no 11 win Power Five, now Power Four team would have been left out of the 12. I'm with it.
Except for SMU, except for FSU last year, you forgot.
No, it would have been left out of a 12 team.
Oh, I don't know. 12 team. Oh, okay. 12 team. Sure. 14, again, 12 team. Sure. Yeah. Whatever you want to move the goalpost to. Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. In the history of the 12, if you had a 12 team playoff, no 11 win team from a Power Five, now Power Four conference would have been left out. Last year, you had to do it just because perfect storm. This year, you get to make an actual choice of one team with three losses, with two bad losses. It's not like they lost, to, Georgia and, Tennessee in elite ways. They lost to two mediocre teams, Alabama did. So now it becomes a bit more of an interesting conversation this committee is going to have.
So let me just ask you this point blank. You believe that if SMU wins or do you believe Alabama's in no matter what? They're going to wedge them in somehow?
Kind of, because you need one more team if you don't take SMU. Because if Clemson wins, Clemson's in. Because they'd be the ACC champion.
So SMU,
they're not automatic. So you could take Army.
All right, just let me get in a word edgewise here. I appreciate it. So if SMU loses a conference championship game, they are going to go against. This is what I'm worried about, right? Not worried because I just feel it's coming.
Yeah,
they're going to go against their stated sort of mission here, and they're going to say, "Oh, we're actually going to penalize you for losing a conference championship game." Bama, there you go.
Possibly. Well, because now, again, you have to go with – the committees do how the committee does it. You have to remember. They go line by line by line by line. And they say, okay, 25 team is here, 24 team is here, and they're arguing each point. The problem for SMU at this point, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just saying how the process works, is SMU, they don't have a great win. And their one loss is to BYU at home. BYU's not in the Big 12 championship. Where's your real power win if SMU loses to Clemson? Meanwhile, part of the problem with Alabama is there's a South Carolina issue. Because one, if Georgia wins the SEC championship, for example, Alabama beat Georgia, that's the big resume thing. The second part of this, South Carolina just beat Clemson. So in a theory with a lot of three-loss teams, you can argue, well, South Carolina kind of belongs in over Clemson, but you can't do that if Clemson wins the ACC championship. Alabama beat South Carolina. That's how they're going to rationalize this.
Yeah, I don't think South Carolina or Ole Miss, I don't think they're getting in. You think Miami's out?
Yeah, it's again, where's your big win? And yeah. Now, to be fair, I say this, when you're in the ACC this year, there's just no real big, great win this season for a lot of these teams.
Have you submitted your Heisman vote yet?
Of course not. The season's not over.
Thank you.
And for the people who say, well, these teams get an extra game. Well, maybe the player is the reason they get the extra game. And that's why you do this at the very end. So I'm actually, shock of shocks, you're along, you know, this. I'm actually starting to become a little more of a Gil Alexander guy, a little on Jesse. I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not
come on, Pete.
I am not a Travis Hunterite. I've seen Charles Woodson and Champ Bailey. I know them, and that's not Travis Hunter. But he's
call
not
up,
the best player.
Call up your Heisman voting cohorts and find yourself 11,000 votes. You know what I mean? Find yourself votes. just go in there.
It's easy. I'm not looking for much. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's see. But Janty's got a rock against UNLV.
Yes, he does.
If Janty goes off and Boise State is in the college football playoff because of this guy, mainly because he's their MVP. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting call. And I'm still not there yet. I could be Hunter, but
let me just say this. If he gets 200 yards, didn't have a great game against UNLV the first time. If he gets 200 yards and Boise State wins, you're voting for Genty, yes?
I cannot say this under penalty of death in the Heisman community, but okay. We will discuss in full afterwards.
Okay.
I honestly have not made up my decision yet on this. But just I'm not going to be told it's got to be Travis Hunter like ESPN's making.
There you go. I like that. Thank you, Pete. Last thing before we go, real quick, what's your favorite bet here in a conference championship game? Which would it be?
I'm still thinking Georgia beats Texas. I'm going to stay Georgia beats Texas, Clemson beats SMU. So take those and go with them.
Peter Futak, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they're going to wedge Alabama in. I feel it. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it as always.
There you go.
The great Pete Futak at Pete Futak, FIUTAK on Twitter, collegefootballnews.com. We didn't even get a chance to say that at the beginning.
That's right. Great stuff from Pete.
Always great. Paul Carr on the other side. Coming back. Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You ever bet the horses?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you really?
I mean, very rarely.
Are you lying
to us?
Triple
Crown.
Are you lying to us right now?
No. I could be talked into a good race bet.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Del Mar and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, sdbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today.
You're telling me that, okay, so when we have people on the show all week long, when I hear that a couple guys I really respect are on the same NFL side, fine. But when we get Samich and Felica both on the same, like, 6-1 shot, I get intrigued.
I do, too. But, like, it rarely works out for me.
I mean, sure, but I bet it.
I hear you. We get tweets at Beating the Book. C. Spackler. I enjoy Gil's polite tension when disagreeing with a guest. Futak brings that out with me.
Pete's the best. Pete's got more of the Megapod vibe.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You just gotta tell him to shut up so you get a sentence in sometimes.
I love that kid, but he says it's like so many objectionable things to me that if I don't get in right at that moment, I'll forget the first three.
I'm impressed though with the Bama considerably.
He agrees with me that Bama's gonna weasel in and he's not gonna be happy about it, which is progress with Pete.
Yeah.
Progress.
I was more shocked by that than his Heisman thoughts.
Ooh, 3-Jack H3131. Uh-oh. Has Todd been rubbing off on Futak? Gil had to step in. What about a Wishnev Futak debate on the Megapod? Topic Yacht Rock. Shades of Mako. I did not expect that answer from Pete regarding the Heisman. Let's go, Genty. It's there for you. The resume at the end can look very nice. I took that to mean, I know Pete is, he cannot say what he's doing.
Yeah.
I got a yes vibe from him. That if Genty goes off and Boise State wins and therefore are in the playoff, he's going to vote Genty.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got as well.
So we are 1/938th of the way there.
I was going to say, there's a couple other things to keep in mind from that interview. Clearly, there are voters, right? This is very much up in the air still in some of their minds. And two, there's so many of them that if you're having a conversation about the Heisman Trophy and who should win, maybe at your local watering hole tonight, maybe just take your voice up a notch or two, because there might be a Heisman voter in that same bar, because there's only 9,327 of them.
Mm-hmm. 938, roughly, but sure. Yeah. What do you need? You don't need all of them. You just need a majority of them.
You don't need all of them.
Yeah. I really do. By the way, Genty 18-1.
You add in a little bit?
I did not. Hunter -8,000. The reason I didn't add is because I am worried that a bunch of these voters, I called them deadbeats earlier, and they are. You know a Heisman voter. You don't have to say the name.
Yep.
You know a Heisman voter. Explain his behavior on this.
Yeah, it was someone that had worked in a college town market for a very, very long time, had left that market, had gotten his Heisman vote then. I'm pretty sure still has it 20, 30 years later when he has not worked directly in college football for that long.
And you said to me, and we did not talk about this before, you said that thing I brought up about McCaffrey, he never saw McCaffrey play.
Yeah.
Not once.
I wouldn't go that far, but like everything we talk about with the biases is so true.
Okay. So these are Heisman voters, and a lot of them have probably already sent in their votes.
Yeah. I mean, at least the ones that think it's Hunter and will not be changed, those have been sent
they will
in.
Not, and they will not be changed with their minds. That's right. So I didn't add more. But listen, I made my case for Genty. I stick by it. Ladies and gentlemen, he went a cool 3-0 in his Premier League picks this past time that he was on the show. He joins us now, moving the sticks in your betting accounts each and every year on the show. It's Paul Carr to talk some Premier League with us. He's from True Media Networks. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at, get this clever Twitter handle, Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Yeah. How you doing, Paulie?
I came up with that one myself.
Pretty good. Were you worried that someone else was going to have it already?
I actually had to get it from somebody else. Ooh. There was someone who had not used it at all, and I DM'd him, and like 6 months later I heard back, and he's like, sure, take it. So that worked out well.
Wow. That's nice.
I do have a quick Heisman voting story.
Please.
So I used to work, it's way back in the day, this is 2002, I was a producer for a radio show in town, and the host had a vote, and he wanted my input, and I tried really hard to get him to vote for Brad Banks over Carson Palmer. That was I was harping on him for like 2 months about it. Brad Banks, Iowa quarterback, but mm-hmm. he still voted with Carson Palmer, so... And he sent that one in himself. He let me vote for some other stuff for him, but that one he insisted on sending. So sorry, Brad. I tried.
Was the message of that story to say, thank God you don't have a Heisman Trophy vote? Or was that what the message was?
No. Oh, okay. I should have a Heisman Trophy vote. No, yeah. I should not have a Heisman. No, I should not.
Yeah.
But well, I paid attention at the time to college football a lot more.
Let me ask you a question or two, if I could, about the Premier League. One, and both of them are around Man City. First, and it's both sides. First, Man City to win the title, that's donezo, right?
Yes. I mean, they're plus 700, so this is not going out on a limb, but you need roughly 85, 86 points probably to win the Premier League at least. For City to get to that number from today, they would have to play at a 99-point pace, meaning get like 2.6 points per game, and only two teams in the Premier League era have ever gotten that many points in a season. So they'd have to play as like the best team the Premier League era has seen to get to roughly what will win the title. And that might not even be enough. So they're done from a title perspective, I think.
Liverpool -170 to win the Premier League, and Arsenal +275, followed by Man City at 7-1, 7-1. By the way, the Arsenal fan and my valet that used to park our cars, he got fired. He dinged up a couple cars. So he's no longer with us.
Are you serious?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I hope that's not related to Arsenal not winning the title last year.
Yeah, he's
frustration or something.
If I told him Arsenal was +275, he would just shake his head and be like, we're not winning it. He was such a defeatist.
That's way too short.
Yeah, that's the Arsenal fan.
The
other Man City question is, because this came up last time, because I think Felica bet them to get relegated.
Yeah.
at a certain number. Yeah, you're laughing, yeah. But I guess part of that calculus is these sanctions. Can you explain what these are and how likely they are to come down?
Yes and no. The short version is there are these financial fair play rules within England in the Premier League. You know, your revenue and how much money you bring in have to balance out to some degree. And they're saying the city has had workarounds for these, whether, you know, lots of different ways they get around it, bringing in money other ways, not counting it, stuff like that. So they're basically saying they violated, you know, I guess it's not a salary cap, but it's in the same vein as violating the financial rules of the league. This has been out there and they've been charged with triple digits of violations. It's almost a running joke of like, yeah, maybe next month we'll hear something. Maybe next month we'll hear something. I don't know. So that's really kind of where it is. I wonder, and this is unsubstantiated, this is just speculation. At some point, is City this season just going to be like one of those college football teams who's like, oh yeah, we'll suspend ourselves from a bowl game this year. Right. And they're like 3-8.
Right.
And they're not going to make it, you know, something like that. So I wonder if City will just kind of like eat it this year, knowing that this is kind of a lost season anyway. I don't know, but it feels like that could be a possibility if there is any sort of, you know, plea deal or whatever you want to call it here.
Yeah, because you're right, because we've known about this for months now, right? But nothing has happened.
Yeah, what does that mean though, Paul, if Man City does that themselves this year? Because they're not going to put themselves in relegation territory, no, right?
But will induce what you're saying is the Premier League itself to say, okay, we'll sanction you now?
Presumably it would be a fine and a point reduction. Mm. Yeah, I'm sure City would not agree to anything that would get them relegated, but you know, they could afford to, you know, whatever, get up, making it up 10 or 15 point deduction or something and still be fine.
All right.
It is funny though. If you look at the relegation odds, it's like the six bad teams that are really contending and then City is next. Like they're seventh to be relegated. It's like plus 900 or so. It's not likely, but it's funny just to see the odds because the bookmakers are sort of hedging. Otherwise, City would be like plus 50,000 or something.
Yeah. They got some bad teams though. Southampton with 5 points through 13. Yeah,
they're about done.
Yeah. They're about done. Ipswich Town, 9 points, as do the Wolves, 9 points. Crystal Palace with 9 points. So there's a bunch down there for sure. Okay. Speaking of which, you went 3-0 quickly. Your three this week are.
All right. We'll start with two of those relegation teams, Ipswich Town, Crystal Palace. This one's today. We got midweek games. I have over 2.5 at minus 115. Ipswich games at home tend to be a little more open. They've conceded in all six games. They've scored in four of them. Palace, similar types of numbers on the road. So I think there's just going to be goals because both teams want to win this one. Over 2.5, minus 115.
And then tomorrow, you have two.
We're going to keep fading Man City. Seven in a row, they have not won. So I'm going to take Nottingham Forest double chance. I mean, I've hit on six of these. I'm just going to keep betting against City until they show me something. Forest, decent team, solid defense. Yeah, City may run away with this. It's going to happen sometime, but Forest double chance plus 225.
That's a win or draw double chance.
Win or draw plus half a goal. Same bet, sometimes different labels.
All right. And then the rare Paul Carr under.
Under. You know, we've been having success with Liverpool unders this year. We'll stick with it here. Under 3, minus 125. The under 3.5 numbers are kind of catching up with us. They're super juicy this week. So passing on that. But Liverpool, 2 of their 13 games have had over 3 goals this season. 8 of Newcastle's 13 have had 2 or fewer goals. Liverpool, again, I've said it time and again, they control the games. 2-0 is kind of their perfect sort of game where it's not too crazy. They're in control, get a goal or two, call it good. So under 3 at minus 125. This one is tomorrow.
All right. Ipswich Town and Crystal Palace. That's today. Over 2.5 goals. Then tomorrow, Nottingham Forest double chance at Man City. Paul got it at plus 225. Shop around. And then Newcastle and Liverpool, the under 3 goals as well. Paul, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good week.
Off a 3-0 sweep, he tries to back it up with another. We'll settle for the 2-1, but 3-0 would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Our G-Bank best bets of the day on the other side, and Kelly's thoughts on the NBA Cup. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour after a numbers game, Muddy Moves. Stormy is on assignment today. I like saying that. Patrick Maher, Jeff Schwartz will be in for her on Money Moves. Prop Points, John Hansen after that from 2 to 3 Eastern, then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 Eastern. It's coming up on VSiN, the sports betting network. What's Stormy up to today? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. We should do.
It's like, no idea.
Stuff on air. We're like, where's Stormy? What's she doing? All right. Which brings us to our G-Bank best bets of the day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. I'm already on the Cardinals in the National Football League, -2.5. Grab the Cardinals over the Seahawks, -2.5. Mainly threes now out there. I also have the Rams two ways. I have the Rams +5, which is available in some spots right now. Rams plus
still?
Five. Yeah.
Man, I see the 4.5. I didn't see
I'm looking five. At, wow. I'm looking at a Rams +5 at Bookmaker right now, okay. Offshore against the Bills. And +185 on the money line against the Bills. And again, most of this is the Bills on defense really do let you run the football. They're like, here, go ahead, take 4 or 5 yards. And if you can, wait for it, matriculate the ball down the field, you will have success. But you got to be patient. You got to not turn the ball over. The more plays you have, the more likely you are to turn it over eventually. So I like with Kyren Williams and with Blake Corum for the Rams to exploit that. I'll take the points and the money line. You, sir.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I've been staring at it all week, too. I think that is a little large. NBA tonight, Raptors taking the points at home with it. A little bit smaller bet because the Raptors are still a bad basketball team. Rockets money line, though. I don't really get this one. I bet it yesterday when it started to move the Rockets way. You and I have talked a little bit about this off air, but man, these NBA openers and how they've moved this season, it is wild how much movement there is from the overnight lines to the morning, and I'm talking back and forth. So I actually bet the Rockets when they were a small favorite yesterday. They are back to a small dog in Sacramento tonight. So definitely like that at the catching 1.5. I see 2 points here at Stations in Town. You can get a +110 money line on it. Really like the Rockets bet.
Rockets who have already clinched their group.
Yes, both of those games. Thank you, Gil. Both those games. Really not much NBA Cup implications. Now, the Rockets, in theory, the point differential could come into play for what their seeding is in the West afterward, but they're probably, if they win the game, they're 4-0. They take the one seed most likely for the West.
In the next round.
Correct. In the quarterfinals, mm-hmm. Yes. As the four come out of there. So yeah, those two, I'm also probably going to get involved in the Spurs tonight. I'm waiting to see where that line goes. Another one where Spurs took money early. This got down to like 6 yesterday when they're at the Suns tonight. That game has a lot of NBA Cup implications. That specific group is all over the place. Both those teams still alive. That is 7.5 right now. If it remains 7.5, I probably will get involved with the Spurs tonight. Spurs have a chance to win that group, advance to the NBA Cup quarterfinals. Should be a great game win in Phoenix tonight. And then my two early NFL plays, Lions laying the 3 at -120 Thursday night, and then Dolphins laying the 6.5. Though I guess we did get word yesterday that Aaron Rodgers is going to go.
Aaron Rodgers is a go for the Jets. At least one more game.
I don't know what all that means. I agree. Like Drew summed it up perfectly where he was like, that feels like too many points, but I don't know where the quit level's at on this team. That's kind of why I'm playing the Dolphins.
The wind was inconsistent.
Yes.
That was his quote.
Wind was inconsistent.
Drew Dinsick, whale_capper on Twitter. He had the 3 plays. He's Oppo. Well, he's not Oppo you because he got the 3 and the hook on the Packers. You got the Lions -3. So kind of Oppo. He also is on the Rams +4.5, and he cannot quit the Chiefs. He loves himself some Chiefs. He's going, he's laying the 4 points with the Chiefs against the Chargers. That is Sunday night football. Remember, Sunday night football, Chargers, Chiefs, then Monday night is the game they couldn't flex out, the Bengals and the Cowboys. Will Hill was here. He's laying the wood with the Eagles. He's laying 12. It's 13 already. So CLV already for Will on the Eagles, -12. And then in college football, he's got Tulane in the AAC championship game. Kelly, what did you say off air about Tulane?
AAC. That's what conference we're talking right. about.
Kelly was not sure about that. Tulane laying the points there, laying 5.5 on the green wave against Army. And then he had 2 interesting plays also futures-wise in college football. He's taking Georgia at 40-1 to make the playoffs as a #1 seed. Really? Is that going to happen? He laid out why.
This is what he said, though, right? Did I write it down correctly?
Yes. Okay. He said that. He did. Alabama 22-1 to win the national championship. And again, the basis of that is we all kind of think the committee is going to figure out a way to wedge Alabama into this. I would be really surprised if they didn't, and nobody should be surprised if they do. So those are Will's bets as well. And then Paul Carr, not to be outdone. Paul Carr today, Ipswich Town and Crystal Palace over 2.5 goals. Then tomorrow, Nottingham Forest, double chance, +225 at Man City. Man City just on the skids. And then Newcastle and Liverpool under 3. That's tomorrow as well, under 3 goals. Paul coming off the 3-0 performance We call that a performance? I think we do. GBank, best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. The GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms, and conditions apply. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. So you have your six groups in the NBA Cup, the Emirates NBA Cup in-season tournament, which has been going on Tuesdays and Fridays for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. And then the non-Tuesday Fridays are regular NBA play. All counts in the standings, though, the actual NBA standings. Of the six groups, we have half that have clinched the wins in their groups. The Atlanta Hawks clinched Group C with a 3-1 record. The Houston Rockets clinched that Group C in the East. The Houston Rockets clinched Group A in the West. And the Golden State Warriors, I think they were the first to clinch.
Yeah, they were first.
Group C in the West. The other three groups, the number one team is all up for grabs, but there's a bunch of teams. If you look at the NBA of those who haven't clinched, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 14 teams are still in contention heading into tonight.
Yeah, you got a ton. The East is a little cleaner. So you've got Group A, Magic and Knicks play each other tonight, right at the top. Whoever wins that's going to win the group in advance. The other one's still alive to potentially get that wild card seed. If it's the Magic, they likely will get it because they have a plus 60-point differential. If the Knicks lose, they might have some trouble. They'll probably have some trouble getting in. You got the Bucks and Pistons. They face off tonight. Winner of that in Group B wins the group. Other one technically still alive with that point differential. Keep that in mind. If you're live betting tonight or betting any of these games, point differential with some of these teams could absolutely come in play. Celtics, good example. They have not Group C in the East. Celtics are eliminated from winning the group. They're 3-1. They've already cleaned up group play. Just keep in mind, I know some people have been betting them. They're not in action tonight. They've already played all their group games. I know some people have been betting them, though, just of thinking that point differential might come into play and the plus 23 could be good enough. For example, if you like the Magic tonight in that Knicks game, that plus 23 could end up being good enough to get you home as a wild card seed. So that's the East. It's a lot cleaner than what the West is. You have that West group B. I was talking about possibly betting the Spurs tonight. I mean, Spurs, Thunder, Suns are all 2-1, all similar point differentials. Probably will end up deciding who wins that group, who's the wild card seed in the West. So those will be some really interesting games tonight. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Pistons, I'll be a big fan of tonight. Giannis, questionable. I did hedge off a little bit, though. I do think Giannis will probably play, and the Bucks have been running so good right now.
Would you have 11-1 to win the group?
Yeah, 11-1. I locked in a little bit of profit for the group futures. We got the Warriors home, and then Pistons possibly going to get home, so that could be big. But yeah, locked it in so we at least get some profit on the group futures.
Yeah, and for those, again, wondering about the schedule, after tonight, so we have the brackets. We have the quarterfinals set up. The quarterfinals won't take place till a week from tonight, Tuesday, December 10th and Wednesday, December 11th. So we're off the Tuesday-Friday schedule. That ends tonight, the group stage. So Tuesday and Wednesday next week are the two quarterfinal nights. That will produce the semifinals, and the semifinals will be here in Vegas on December 14th. The championship will be December 17th. Both of those in Vegas. And the December 17th championship is the only game that doesn't count towards the actual NBA standings. The incentive, in case you're trying to bet on this and you're wondering, why should I bet on this kind of thing? The incentive for these players is every player on the roster gets $547,000, I believe it is this year. Last year was $500 on the button. I think it's $547,000 per person. And yes, does that mean a lot to the superstars of the league? It does not. But to the last few guys on the bench, that's still money. That's still money that makes an impact. So that's what they're playing for here. But the quarterfinals after tonight resumes a week from tonight.
What did they do last year? Thursday, Saturday here in town for semifinals, finals? Like, this is kind of a weird setup.
The semis was definitely midweek because we went.
I think it was Thursday and then Saturday.
I think you might be right.
This feels a little odd. Saturday and then Tuesday?
And the gym was freezing.
It was cold.
Really, all the stands wearing jackets.
I remember sitting upstairs in the press box like this, and Gil texts me. He's like, are you cold up there? I'm like, I'm freezing.
That's right. I texted you on the other side. Are you cold by any chance? We've done all we can do. Money Moves with Patrick and Jeff next, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.